Morning, folks, and welcome. We're so glad that you blew in this morning. Boy, the wind was with you, wasn't it? Great. Good. Good to see you this morning. Welcome to each and every one. Great to be in the Lord's house. Great to know that we have a great God. It's great to see so many people desiring to give Him thanks and honor Him and worship Him. I'm going to share a few lines from verse 24. It's just Psalms 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in it. For He hath founded it upon the seas and established upon the floods. Who shall ascend to the hills of the Lord, or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor swear deceitfulness. Amen.
For hymn of worship this morning, using 167, the first and third, and Benny will have a prayer. That's all I'm saying.
God, our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before You just now, we just want to give You thanks, dear God, for Your goodness that You've shown to us this last week, the provisions that You have provided for us, dear Heavenly Father, the guidance that You have guided us with, Heavenly Father. Thank You for the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, that encourages and guides us in life. Father God, You're so good to us, and we just want some way, somehow, to be able to say thank You. We're so grateful, dear God, for Your mercy and Your love toward mankind and Your generosity and even giving Your only begotten Son that we might have salvation, that we might have hope, not only in this life, but the life to come. We thank You for that. We thank You, dear God, for these people that stand here before You this morning that make up the Porter Church family. We thank You, dear God, for the church as a whole throughout the nation, throughout the world. We pray, Heavenly Father, as we gather this morning, that we will send up voices of thanksgiving, that we'll be so grateful for Your goodness toward mankind. Help the nation, help the church, help the world to see how good You are, Almighty God. And Heavenly Father, we can just say, You are so good to us. Thank You. So now, Heavenly Father, as we come to worship, as we come to honor You, we pray for each person standing here this morning that You will bless us, that the Holy Spirit will be with us and Holy Spirit will guide us in our songs and the message, that give us direction, Heavenly Father, to give us encouragement, that as we go forth this week, that we will be victorious in Christ Jesus, whose wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Now for communion hymn, we're going to use number 187 and sing all four verses.
There's a sin in vanity and pride, bearing not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me, he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was love to apply to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. I got the word at last, I see.
Gift and the giver of building thy kingdom. These words we ask in thy name. Amen.
Well, it's good to see you. Mike, I didn't notice just a while ago. Did you get too much sunshine?
Donna
is not here this morning. She's not feeling well. I was kidding Mike and Donna, but I told them to bring back some sunshine. And so Donna sends me this. So she couldn't bottle any up. So she's brought it. She's just sent it back in a song that we're going to have for the special here a little bit. We're glad that you had a good trip and so forth. Glad that you got it. Good to see everyone here this morning. Let's see. I got to share some things with you. Where'd my bulletin go? Did I have a bulletin? Could I borrow you? Okay. That's not it. Can I borrow yours a moment? I put mine somewhere. Okay. Oh yeah, this week will be fun food fellowship night, won't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I kind of slipped up on me. Okay. So we look forward to hopefully have a good evening, and you folks can all be here. And then this evening we'll have Bible study at 4 o'clock, and we're going to look forward to a kind of a interesting evening, because the preacher was challenged with 2 questions last week, and I worked hard on them, believe it or not, but I come up with an answer for one that I've never heard or seen before, heard anybody talk about. I just feel, as I study and studying on that, on the Romans question, I felt like the Holy Spirit gave me something that I've never saw before in the Scripture. And that's a wonderful thing of studying the Scripture, because the Holy Spirit will show you things you've never seen before. So it's going to be a quite interesting evening, I think. And so we encourage you to come. We're in the book of Romans, and a good study. And then Robert had a question for me, and I got a good answer for you. But I had to go back over. I had to mull over some of the old things that I had in my office and so forth, and to come up with that. But it was good questions, good questions. So we're having a good time in the Bible study, so we hope that you'd come and be a part of it. Days is getting longer now, so that you might have more daylight to come, and it'd be just great. Okay, what else taking place here? I said that we would be taking messages from where we're reading. Where you read this week in the Bible reading, the message will come from somewhere in there. Been trying to do that, but we're going to probably veer off of that with the next week or so, because Easter time, we're going to have to get started working up toward Easter time, which is not too far off. And so we'll probably veer off, and I'll have to check next week. I've already got a couple of things going there, but next week or so we'll veer off on the Bible. So I'm so pleased with so many people that are reading through the Bible with us, and that's great. Isn't it wonderful to just refresh your mind on some of the things you haven't seen? And it kind of gets to drag you a little place there, you know, talking about all those things, but they're important to know. They're important to read and kind of go back and give them all the dealings with the wife and the daughters and all that stuff that we read last week and such. And it's kind of quite interesting. And so continue to do that. We appreciate that. What else we got going? So we're looking for this spring that things will open up. We'll be doing some things hopefully that will be beneficial for our church, and be certainly a part that you want to play in. As we look to our prayer time, then, we still have a great list on our prayer list here. So I'll mention a few that we had that we have talked about. And the rest of the folks that we have there are kind of about the same and such. I was wanting to contact Gary Sickle. Anybody heard anything from him lately, how things is going? He and his family, you know, we talked about them, and his former minister here years back. And he were having a lot of difficulties, and so we prayed that things were working out well for them. I was trying to find an address for him to write a note back to him and see how they're doing. And let's see, we have somebody else on there. What's the name?
Chandler Link.
Chandler. I was looking for his name here.
It's on there.
And he's back in the hospital and not doing well at all. And so keep him in your prayers. And also we had the new ones, Tanya Lanford, that had the operation this week, and things went well for her. So we're so glad to hear that. And then Nancy Manassa, that we talked about, had a cancer that's undergoing treatment. Continue to pray for them. Those are the last couple ones new ones that we put on our list there. Judy says her headache. I asked her how her headache was. How did I say that? I asked her this morning if she still had her headache, and she said, yeah, it's still following around. I don't know who, I was trying to figure out what she meant there, but I think it's back here in the corner. No, but no joking, though. We just continue to pray and for those headaches to go away. We're so glad that our piano player hasn't suffered those here lately. And we just pray that you won't, that you're right here. And we're so glad that you're here. And we're so thankful to have you here and that you're a part of us. Yeah. And so pray for those things and pray for each one of those that we have on our prayer list. And let's see. Vern's here again this week. Things are going pretty good. I had a, I'll share just a couple of notes. I had my kidney doctor, my heart doctor got me to a kidney doctor, and I'm a kidney doctor. He's worked on me. But anyhow, good reports. So I'm staying pretty stable, I'm physically stable. Little problem up here, but physically I'm pretty stable, And so I just praise the Lord and thank you folks for your prayers, and concerns, because it's great. And then also Tammy, Lynn's daughter, and them, they went down to see about getting something done for her. Now they went to Michigan now, and they came, it was somewhere else.
They went to Texas?
Yeah, they went to Texas, but they come back.
And they went to
Boston. But they're not getting too good of results, so let's keep praying for them that they'll be able to find out what's going, get something to help them, and so forth. And the rest of the folks on our prayer list, Lord, just go down the list and day by day and think about them. Think about all the needs we've shared with you in the past, and it's so good to see that even though we've got a lot of names on our prayer list, but God is working in them lives. And we've been getting some results back and hearing some things out, what's happening, and that's great. We're so glad that Pauline is here and be able to be with us out here week after week. That's really great. And so just look around, and if you see someone's missing and then possibly they're ill or something, or maybe there's some other reason they're missing, pray for them, pray with them and whatever, and encourage them in a way. Great. It's so great to have good Christian people like you concerned about each other, okay? The service people, our nation we talk about, we won't go into a lot of that, but just keep that, praying for our nation, good things will happen. Service people, maybe get to come home soon. Care homes and caregivers, that's a tremendous task and a very demanding task, and so keep praying for them. The doctors and the nurses and their all their labors that they do for the people. Gosh, you just go into the hospital and you just see busy, busy people and everywhere doing things, trying to care for people. And it's wonderful that we have that God has put that together for us to be able to help people in such a wonderful way. And so I pray that those things will keep advancing, all right? Anything else that we need to share this morning as we come? God is so good. God is ready and got an ear open. He's concerned about our concerns. He's concerned about you, and he's concerned about who you're concerned about. So let's share those with him and look forward to seeing good things happen again this week for you people and his people.
For prayer, him, I'll use numbers 227, saying both verses, and Virgil will have a prayer.
I knew I put it somewhere there.
It's all sand. Mm-hmm.
Since I met this place.
hear your word and join your kingdom. Father, if it be your will, we ask your healing touch on the ones on the prayer list, the ones in the nursing home, and also for the shut-ins, which are unable to attend. And also, Father, ask for safety for our men, women, and servants. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
The invitation hymn be number 309, 309. Now this time the choir very special.
Thank you, choir, and Kathleen, and choir, bringing our sunshine to us. Won't be long, will we? The sun will be shining nice and bright, warm, and we'll say, how about a cool breeze, you know. Well, I forgot to, back there, I didn't get to greet Fanny this morning. I missed you somewhere along the line. And also, I had another person on my note here that I overlooked. And this is used to be a co-worker of Keith, I believe, Bobby Kimley. As a co-worker, and so very much needing prayer and healing, and so keep him in your prayers, if you will. This morning, I probably could have found a better title after I worked on this a while, and you could probably pick a better title for the message also, but the cure for sin. Here in Numbers 21, and we see that Israelites headed to the promised land and have a problem. Edomites won't let them go on, and they're near the promised land, and Edomites won't let them through. And they have to go another route. And if you was looking at a map, you would see that they had to turn now, and they're going away from the promised land. And so, you know, we kind of give the Israelites down the road a little bit, but let's don't be too hard on them, because, you know, they've traveled all this time, they've had all the difficulties they had, and they've complained and everything else, and they've had a lot of problems, and they're pretty close to getting to the promised land, and now God says, don't fight the Edomites, just go another way. And so they're going the opposite way than the promised land. So they could be quite discouraging, you know. They maybe was all fired up. Now we just, tomorrow we'll be headed right into the promised land and we'll be enjoying all the fruits that God has promised. And now we got to turn and go another way. In verse 4 through 9, I'll share with you as we begin here. And they journeyed from Mount Hor and the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Eden. And the souls of the people were much discouraged because of the way, because they had to turn and go a different way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, "Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is any water, and our souls loathe this light bread." And the Lord sent far his servants among them, and the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he will take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he look upon it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass, put it on a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, whom when he beheld the serpent, the brazen serpent, he lived. So again, they're on their way, and they're discouraged, and they begin. You know, we talked last week about it. You know, God is not pleased with complaining. Complaining doesn't please God. This is a little bit along the same line. But if you notice what it says here, it says they spoke against God. And now there's a difference between complaining and complaining. And then there's a difference between speaking about God. You can speak to God and you can complain to God. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. And it's not a sin. But to complain about God, talk about God, that's sin. That's sin. That's not good. And that's what's taking place here. Last week we talked about them complaining. But this week we want to narrow in on the fact that they spoke against God. And a severe penalty came about speaking against God and against their servant Moses there. And so, some thoughts I want to share with you from this here this morning, kind of hopefully to encourage you, is the fact to be saved, we must realize and admit our sin. Israel here, as they turned and went and they complained, they spoke against God. And the fiery servants come upon them. And they realized they had sinned. And for us to, in our sin, and so for one to be really saved, one must realize and they must admit their sins. You know, we've got a lot of people that realize they have sinned. But some of those people has not admitted their sin. You can see from this passage here in verse 7, and they said, and the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned." What did they do that caused them sin? They spoke against God. They weren't complaining, they spoke against God. They did enough complaining, that's true. When you go to the doctor, you must tell him what's wrong with you so that he can help you. You know, oftentimes when I've had to go to the doctor, I've always felt like when they ask you, what's wrong with you? I often want to say, well, that's the reason I'm here. That's the reason I pay my $45 copay, and I want you to tell me what's wrong with me, and I want you to tell me what you're going to do to make me well. But I don't do that. But here, God told them, what's wrong. And then he tells them what will make them well, so to speak. It's different with sin. God tells us what sin is. And when we're suffering from sin, we know what it is. And as bad as we hate to admit it, we must say, I have sinned. I have sinned. We have sinned. I read, and if you look, I read 19 times in the Old Testament, New Testament, I find men saying, I have sinned. Pharaoh, if you remember in Egypt, twice he came to Moses and Aaron and said, I have sinned. I have sinned. And of course, what he was referring to, he had sinned against God. And then Balaam, if you remember Balaam and the angel of the Lord, Balaam said, I have sinned against the angel of the Lord. And then we have Achan. You remember Achan? And Achan once said, I have sinned. I have taken of the accursed stuff. King Saul, three times. He said, I have sinned. And one of those times he said, I have sinned because he sought to kill David. And David said, six times David said, I have sinned. I have sinned. David, as great as Davis was, and I think I call in his greatness because he recognized his sin and he admitted it. And he said six times, I have sinned. And then Micah, he said that once. He might have sinned more than once. I don't know anybody that's just sinned once. Even Ron is not settled for just once. But Micah said, I have sinned. But when you read that passage where he says that, he's actually speaking for Israel. And he's speaking for himself. And then there's Job. Twice I find that Job said that. Once Job said that for himself. You know, it's interesting. I hope it's interesting to you. It's interesting to study those 19 times. These nine men said, I've sinned. And to study what they did and so forth. Now, Job, he said in the very beginning, he said, I have sinned. But then the second time he said that, it was because he was confronting his friends who said that you have sinned. And surely if you'll confess your sin, God will relieve you of this misery you're in. And so the second time that Job said it, he said, you said I have sinned. And Job was looking for somebody to go between him to know that I haven't sinned. But he did say he was sinned one time. And then the New Testament only find two men. That was the prodigal son. One time he said, and you remember that when he came back from his journey, when he finally found himself. Hear these young men say, well, I'm going to go down in Florida. I'm going to go to California. I've just got to find myself. Prodigal son went in the far country. He said, I got to find myself. And when he found himself, he came back to his father's house. And he said to his father, he said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. And you know the last one, don't you? Judas. Judas sold out our Christ, our Lord. 30 pieces of silver, and I'll point him out to you. And that very dreary, dark night, as he treaded over to the Mount of Olives, leading the soldiers, And he came up to Christ and he said, "He that I kiss will be him." And he kissed Jesus. Later on, he came down with such guilt, such sorrowfulness in his system, that Judas says, "I have sinned. I have shed innocent blood." Innocent blood. Until we recognize we have sinned, until we commit our sin, God cannot help us. But you know, I find 39 times I find it said of Israel, and said, "We have sinned." 39 times they say, "We have sinned." And of course, you know, when they were saying that, they were saying they had sinned against God. Admitting that they had sinned, even as they say here in verse 7, they say, "We have sinned against God and against you, Moses." And so I say to you this morning, our answer to sin is far superior than what we read here, than the serpent that God is going to have Moses to put on the pole. This is just a symbol of what is to come. We studied a little bit in our evening Bible study about shadows, things that the Old Testament and New Testament. And so this is just a shadow that we are seeing here that Moses is doing here. A shadow of our real one who's to come that will take away our sins. We cannot put a serpent on a pole and raise it in the air and look upon it and have our sins taken away. Jesus is the one who will take our sins away. God, through his mercy, his compassion, his care, his concern, through his love, he has provided us a sin barrier. One we can look to and have our sins taken away. But another thought I have about this is this. The sins of the Israelites was, we have sinned, we have spoken against God. And I say to you this morning, the Israelites are not the only ones that have spoken against God. They're not the only ones that have spoken against God. America has spoken against God, and I'm not trying to get into political stump here about this, but I do want to show you and draw your mind to some things. America has spoken against God. You know, when the Ten Commandments and prayer was taken out of the schools, America spoke against God. When the government told parents they could not correct their children by warming up the rear portion of their adamantium, America spoke against God. Spare the rod and spoil the child. When abortion was legalized and Americans were then to pay part of it, America spoke against God. When marriage license for people of the same sex was demanded by the court or by the law or by a judge that it had to be done, America spoke against God. When the burning of the American flag and the stomping of it in the mud is allowed, America has spoken against God. When aliens can come into this country and push on us their culture, and we, by the law of the land, or the judges of the land, says we have to adhere to it, America has spoken against God. Not only has America spoken against God, but I say it with kindness and love, the church has spoken against God. That's hard to think, isn't it? Number one, when the church was pressured, so to speak, and that's what they say, they was pressured to do that. When the church took down the cross from off of their facility and out of their facilities, the church spoke against God. When the pulpit was taken off the platform, the church spoke against God. That was one of the first things we find of sharing the word, talking to God's people. Interceding for God was a platform raised up. We find a lot of the prophets doing that. And I say when we allowed that to go, we spoke against God. When the pews were taken out and replaced with theater chairs, the church spoke against God. What those pews represent to you? They have some representation to the holiness of God, don't they? But to discard them and bring in common chair, I say the church spoke against God. When the homosexuals and lesbians are allowed to have prominent places in the church, I say the church has spoken against God. Should I go on? No. Folks, we have spoken against God. And we can just say, until America, if we wanted to say that, if we were stomping on the stump for America, we could go back to what? 2 Chronicles 7:14 says very plainly, until America realizes, recognizes, takes responsibility for their sin and repents of it and says, we have sinned, can God do anything about it? That's what he said in 2 Chronicles 7:14. He said, if my people which are called by my name will, but will is not doing it. Israel spoke against God. We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord, he says. As a just penalty, God brought upon them these fiery serpents. I don't know exactly what those were. It could have been those fiery ant type things, or it could have been the cobra snake. I don't know. I kind of believe it was a cobra type snake, poisonous snake, because that's what was on there. We see that cobra on a stick. We see that a lot of times on hospitals. We see that on medical buildings sometimes. And what it represents is there's healing here. And that's what God told Moses. Moses, the children came and said, Moses, Moses, We recognize what we have done. We realize we feel guilty about what we've done, and we know we have sinned against God and against you, Moses. The Israelites is not the only ones that sinned. And the penalty is very just. The fiery servants bit the people. And what's it say? Many died. You know, I'm not trying to be judge or judgmental, but I wonder. I see so many people dying. And I don't know about the Hollywood stuff out there and all the movie stars and stuff, but I've said before and I've seen this, and I don't know whether you have noticed this, in the last week, in the last month, in the last year, I have never seen so many people connected to Hollywood who has died, and many of them died young. Is it possible that the serpent is biting? I don't know. But I really do believe that we are experiencing the wrath of God on us as a nation, upon a church, and as upon a people. Many died, and they cried out to Moses. You know what this tells me? Even when we realize that we have sinned, when we know we're guilty against God and we want to do something about it, we have to have someone to go between us. You see, God won't listen to a sinner. Even the Pharisees, the scribes, the Pharisees realized that. They made the remark, it's in your scripture, in their Bible. God does not hear a sinner. Hey, God would not communicate with the Israelites. They knew it. That's why they come. They said, Moses, you. They knew that there was no use them talking to God. As a matter of fact, they knew they couldn't talk to God. They had no right to talk to God. So this teaches us we need someone to go between us and God. Moses, we have sinned against God and you, Moses. Moses, will you talk to God? Moses, you've talked to God before for us. They knew that. Moses, we can't touch the mountain. You remember that? We can't touch the mountain. We can't come close to God. We'll die. But Moses, you go up on the mountain and talk to God for us. Moses, we have sinned against God and sinned against you. And Moses, won't you go and talk to God about it for us? Just a few moments ago, just a short while ago, we read and we see and we visualize Israel was talking about God, talking against God. They were talking against Moses. Moses, you bring us out here in this desert place to die. God hasn't fulfilled his promise. He promised us a land filled, overflowing with milk and honey. And look where we're at. We're eating manna. Moses, talk to God, will you, for us? And now, look, Moses, what's happening to us? God has brought upon us because we have sinned, and God has brought up on the serpents, and they're fighting, and we're dying. Moses, talk to him. Talk to God for us. And it says, Moses talked to God. Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, make this serpent, put it on a pole, raise it up, and those who will look to it will be healed, that are bitten, will be healed. Thankfully, God provides a way. God provides a way. Just a short while ago, they are talking about God. How God had mistreated them. How God had not carried through on his promise. And they had been talking about Moses and actually saying, Moses, you're just doing this for your glory. You just brought us out of here actually for your own glory. But now we're in this terrible shape. We're dying and God is punishing us for it. Folks, ought to be a big lesson there for us. There's something there that we ought to share with others. Listen, these people are talking about God. These people in the high places are talking about God. We need to warn them. You just think right today, how many people that you know of in the governmental and every place else who's talking about God? If the fiery serpent bit today, wow, what a mess we would have, huh? What a mess. If God would rain down his judgment on those who are talking about him, against him, we have spoken. What's that say? We have sinned, for we have spoken against God. How many people have you heard in the last year says God doesn't have any place in it? If the serpent bit today, this nation would be in a tremendous, can't think of the word that I could use there, shape anyhow. Okay. We're so thankful that God provides, though, makes way, provides someone to go to between, a mediator, an intercessor, one who will reconcile us back. That's what he said. Moses, go and get us, make amends here, reconcile us back together. You be the mediator between us and God, and you bring us back together so that we can enjoy what God has for us. Isn't that what we need today? We need a mediator that will stand between God and us as a nation, as a church, as a people, and bring us back together so that we can really experience and enjoy the blessings that God has for us. Is that what we need today? Is that what we need? God has provided that. Just as God provided the remedy for Israel that day here in chapter 21, just as he had Moses to lift the serpent, which was a foreshadow of the one who would really take away the sins of mankind. And friends, we should not be bashful about recognizing and admitting our sin. I don't know about you, but if I recognize and realize I have sinned, in which I do, the first thing I want to do is go to the one who can do something about that. I don't want to be bit by the fiery serpent. God has provided, and let me say this as we close, God is the only one who can provide the necessary remedy or the cure. God is the only one, and he has done that. He has done that. Our remedy, or our cure, however you want to say that, our forgiveness, might probably be the good word, from death brought about sin, is not a brazen savior lifted on a pole. Our cure for sin is none other than the very Son of God. Out of the love for mankind, Jesus has spanned between earth and heaven. He spanned there between heaven and earth on a cruel cross, nailed to that cross, dying in our place, paying our penalty, doing what we couldn't do, satisfy God. He did that. Jesus said, when he argued, the Pharisees argued with him, and he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. And he was lifted up. He spanned there in midair on that cross. And the scripture says, for everyone that looks upon Jesus, and you know the rest of that, everyone that looks upon Jesus will do what Jesus said. Their sins will be healed. Their sins will be forgiven. And they will be healed. For me to be healed physically, spiritually, mentally, I must confess I have sinned. For this church to be healed of the lack of spirituality, of the lack of sharing the glorious good news, of the lack of living the life of Christ, we must recognize our sin. For our nation to realize the situations that we're in, we have to recognize we have sinned. The scripture says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And friends, when we do as the Israelites did here in this short passage, when we recognize we have sinned, and I don't think there's anybody here can actually say we haven't sinned. I don't think there's anybody here can say that we individually have not sinned. And I don't think there's anybody here that can honestly say that we as a church have not sinned. And I know there's not anyone here that look at our nation, America, and can say we have not sinned. So what we've done, we've really brought a guilt, we've brought a conviction here. We've brought a judgment against sin. Until we realize and recognize, until we within our heart, soul, and spirit say, I have sinned against God. Can Jesus do anything about it? Until we confess that we have sinned against God, Jesus can't help us. Jesus can't help us. He's our mediator. He go between. But when we will honestly say, as individuals, as a church, and as a nation, if we will say with these Israelites, I have sinned against God, will Jesus do something about it? Hangs on the cross to take away our sins. He was buried and rose that we might live again. What a Savior. What a Savior we have. I don't know about you, but it's very possible that you might have never said that. Would you like to be the 10th man? The 10th woman? Who would say with the 9 men of the scripture this morning, I have sinned And would you come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I want you to go between me and Father God. Reconcile us, and he'll do that as we stand and sing. Folks, for being in the Lord's house, number one, for being just being here, that is really encouraging. And I hope that you being here and other folks who love the Lord has encouraged you. And I hope that you will look to this Jesus. He'll grant you a great week this week, a victorious week over all things that you're faced with. God bless you as we go. Dear God, how wonderful it is to know. Yeah, we've been bit by sin. But how wonderful it is to know that we have one who bears that sin for us. Now, Almighty God, help us to be grateful for that. Help us to live for Jesus. Help us to share Jesus. Help us, Almighty God, to always recognize if and when we do sin, and we will sin, that we will cry out, I have sinned. We know then you can do something about it. So thank you for making a way, providing a way, not a brazen serpent, but a living Savior in Jesus Christ. We thank you for him. Now, Father God, we ask that you would bless the people gathered here. Grant to them safety throughout this week. Grant them a victorious week in the things that they are faced with. And we know that we're faced with things out there that we need to overcome, but we can do that trusting in Jesus, in whose name we pray and thank you. Amen. Amen. God bless you.